Okay, it's 3 o'clock and I'd like to call to order the meeting for the regular commission meeting for San Juan County Fire District Number 3. And I will start by taking roll call. Commissioner Pollak?
Here.
Commissioner Olson?
Here.
And I'm here, we're all present. Okay, do we have any additions or changes to the agenda? Anything from staff?
No.
Okay. Do we have any citizens' comments or has there been, well, let's start off with, has there been any correspondence?
No.
No correspondence. Do we have any citizens' comments before we begin? We have people online?
Yes.
Okay. All right, not hearing any?
If you give me one moment.
Okay.
Commissioner Olson, you are the 520 area code, correct?
All right, yes.
Okay, then I will mute the others. Commissioner, you still there?
Yep.
Okay, you guys are good.
Okay, so let's start off with the consent agenda, the correction and approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of February 8, 2022. Are there any corrections that anyone's aware of? Nope. Okay. So we'll approve those minutes. All those in favor of approving the minutes for the meeting of February 8, 2022, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it passes. Okay, bills and payroll. Chief.
Bills and payroll. All right. Before you goes up, you should have everything in front of you for February, and I'd be happy to answer any questions on the pile of invoices that you have that have come through, and then I will fill you in on one other point after we do the payroll. So if you have any questions, be happy to answer them.
I've got one here. Charles Daldar.
Yes.
That's on the very first page.
Yes.
For the various stations, the phone.
Stanton.
See that?
Oh, no, it's below it. It's reimbursement fuel. So it always has who it is with what's below.
Yeah, I always, it looks like it should all be in that same box and it's not. It's the next one down.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, we got in, needed to refuel the boat after a mission, and there was a little confusion at the docks as to whether we had an account, which we do. The person staffing it didn't know that, so we just paid it. Chuck had his card there, so we reimbursed him for the fuel.
Right.
And we do and did have an account with them, so that was a confusion at staff down there.
Gotcha. Okay. Albert, do you have any questions about the bills and...
No, I have no questions, and I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills.
Hang on, I'll get to you in a second with that. Mike, is there anything you want to discuss?
Yeah, I just wanted not to discuss, but I just wanted to make a point that I did question the payment of $6,900 from Rhode Island, and she explained to me right on readily that it was just threat we're paying over there. It's an annual fee,
right,
that we're paying. So, okay, I just want to make sure that everybody knew that.
That's what that's for. Yeah. I didn't know we were paying rent over there.
We pay rent there. We pay rent at the Cape. We pay rent at 34s. 36.
No, 36. Not 34. 36,
not 34. 36. Yeah.
So who do we pay for 36?
Homeowners associations up in that area. Exactly. So that's how Brown is. That's how Cape is. And it's an agreement for make sure there's heat, electricity, that kind of stuff, and it uses their facility.
All righty.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did you have something?
Well, I just station 36 is the owner of, it's part of the Franklin family, but the owner of Aeronautical is the person that owns that property now.
Oh, right. That's right. With Will and Jackie. That's right.
And is the cost of that? It used to be that we were covering the cost of taxes. Is that still the case?
For 36 is yes.
Okay.
Okay, if you'd like to make that motion now, Albert?
I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills.
Okay, I have a motion to pay the bills. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, okay, motion passing. All right.
Payroll.
Payroll.
You have two sets of payroll. You've got, you'll see the one for the first through the 31st, and then you'll see the one from the 18th to 2/10. So you've got your 24-day cycle and then your staff cycle on a monthly piece. Be happy to answer any questions on either of the payrolls. You will see on the single month one that it's got the health incentive that was paid out for those members that qualified. And that's a annual basis that we pay out in either January or early February for that.
Okay, and that is, that's for the year.
That is for the year. It's a single time for the year for any of the members that met the requirements from the previous year. That's correct. Let's see it. Do you have how many actually qualified?
There's 2,500 on this one and 1,500 on that next month.
So eight?
So.
Yeah, I think.
Eight people?
Yeah.
Eight people qualified out of the organization, yes.
Okay.
And as we had talked about before, that's one of those that it's open to everyone, and I budget under, because I want to come to you guys and ask for more, because we had more people that did the health incentive program. So that's where we're at. So I will drop that challenge on our membership again.
Good idea. Like to see that. Okay, do I have a motion to pay payroll?
I'd like to make a motion that we pay payroll as presented to us.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, okay, motion passes.
One piece I would like to share with all of you, as we had mentioned at the last meeting, as we were waiting for tax monies to start to come in, we were keeping track of things. We wanted to make sure that things stayed flush. We did move $100,000 from the reserve into general fund to make sure that we balance that time out. Once the funds come in, we'll be moving the $100,000 back. So making sure you knew that all that was. So there's still enough in there. Talking with Robin today, she's starting to notice the tax funds are starting to come in. You will hear where it was last month, which was fairly low on revenues, but that was to be expected. So we are still well within balance, well within budget. And as soon as we get it flushed back out again, we'll move it back over into that reserve status.
Already. Timeframe is when we're going to get this money from the town?
No, it's just our regular tax payment. So it starts coming in March, and then we'll get more in March, April. It was because we didn't have town funds come in. We just have this finite period of time until we do get the tax revenue that will be part of our regular tax income, which is right now and into April is that big bulk.
Time, you know, I've heard complaints. People come to me and said, you know, we're spending reserve money. I try to explain, no, that's not the case. It's the way the tax things are going. So
that's correct.
Is there some kind of time frame and somebody's the public's going to know when we're going to return this back to our reserve fund?
My anticipation would be the bulk of the tax funds come in this month, next month. So either late April, early May, we'll move the $100,000 back over.
So.
It's all in, and all these are in the pool account, so they all sit in one collective piece. We break it out between the two. No money's being spent.
No, I understand.
Right? But I hear what you're saying. So yeah, as soon as it comes in, so the anticipation would be late April, early May, we'll have enough funds back in for operating revenue that sits there, and we'll move it over. And then we'll wait till end of the year when the next bulk comes in before we move the predicated $40,000 over into reserve, because we have that automatically set into our budget to move an additional $40,000 for added savings. So we'll move the $100,000 back and then an additional $40,000 later in the year.
So would you
kind of go over how we get paid starting in March? How do those, because it sounds like we don't just get a lump sum.
So as people pay their taxes, it's calculated out. They give all of the junior taxing districts. So actually what we'll do is we'll just let Robin, who worked in finance and everything at the county, explain all that for us.
When somebody makes our tax payment, if you look on your tax bill, it says certain dollar amounts go to certain agencies. And when people pay their taxes at the very end of the day, they do a reconciliation. And for that day, whatever was collected gets broken up into the different agencies.
So they don't wait for all the tax money to come in and just pay people off. As it comes in, they.
Oh, yeah. It's called PAX, which is almost like, but it's a credit card and cash handling program. And they reconcile it every single day.
So there's no way for us to say, oh, on April 15th, we're going to get.
No.
Because we don't know.
No, I was just looking today and it looks like we got like 15,000 something on Friday and another 18,000 on Monday.
Because I know I got my tax bill day before yesterday. It's not due until the end of April. So,
But a lot of people pay early.
Pay early, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So they pay earlier.
Right.
And so the reason why we say we're starting to get it now and into April is because historically that's when we start to see the numbers start coming up, is March and April is when we start seeing the funds come in.
And if you usually have your taxes paid through your mortgage, that's always done usually a month ahead of time. So.
Thank you for the explanation.
Yeah, I didn't know how that worked. I always assumed that they waited until it all came in and you just got a lump sum,
got a big check.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, and we give you the summary on the monthly basis, but she watches it every day and it will, oh hey, we got this. It's just like she said, because we've been watching to see where it is. So what, between Friday and today, 33,000 came in. And then we'll continue to see that as it goes forward. That's okay. All we have for financials and nothing else from last month. I'll give you the full summary when we get to staff reports.
Okay, great. All right, new business, the EMS supplies.
You saw a letter that was included from San Juan EMS. I'm wanting to bring that to your attention and give you a couple points of what we're doing. This letter addressed AEDs and supply reimbursement or repositioning. There was a number of AEDs that were listed out. They have requested the AEDs that were loaned to us under Training Officer Kutzing's time when he was the interim EMS chief. The list of numbers, there were seven that were listed. I asked our quartermaster to look in and find those specific ones, the ones that I did ask for an additional, because those were their asset numbers. I asked for the actual serial number on them. We found three of them, looked for one more. The other ones that were individually assigned in names, those weren't ours. So even though people that were listed on there may have been members of ours, those weren't issued by us. We do have we're grabbing the ones that were theirs. We're returning them. We had some in reserve because 2 years ago we were going to replace the fleet. At that point in time, visiting with San Juan EMS, they said we have a number of ones that are collecting dust underneath the desk. Why wouldn't we put those into service? So that's where that agreement came from in the first place. We put ones out because we had batteries that were going dead. So as opposed to replacing batteries in ones that were antiquated, we went to keep them in the system. We have batteries on order. We're getting new product. Per the request, we have till the end of April to return those. We'll be able to get those returned sooner than that. We'll communicate back out that four of them were not ours. And I don't know where they are. They're not our responsibility. The other piece on the supplies is, as was stated by the letter from Superintendent EMS Administrator Butler, is that they're no longer going to be covering any supplies that we use on calls. So if we arrive first, use any of our equipment, it had been the arrangement that we would get that equipment back. That's how it works across the country, because you're going to use the equipment and then the ambulance company bills for it. So that's just the agreement. San Juan EMS is not going to be doing that as of March 1st. So, for example, on the cardiac save that we just had late last month, we arrived first, did two shocks, used our equipment, BVM, and otherwise, those are given back because it was prior to the end of the month. That will not be going forward. So I've asked our quartermaster to make sure that we have disposable equipment that's out there, and it was only for disposable equipment. Any hard equipment, that's our obligation to purchase anyway. So we're looking at either new AEDs, we'll have them for now back in service. We're looking at replacing to ones that are easier. So, for example, he's looking at the new Zoll or one of the Zoll AEDs. One of the main costs that you have in an AED is the battery. Right, and they only last a couple of years. Well, Zoll has one now that you can get a commercially produced battery. So if we have a battery that goes bad, you've used it, run it out from cardiac arrest shocks, we can run down to Brown's and buy a new battery and put it back in, we're good. And it's not $125, which generally AED batteries are going for. So we're looking into some other options for that, but rest assured the entire fleet will still have AEDs on them and we'll be able to respond. I wanted to bring this to your attention, let you know what we were doing and seeing if you had any feedback or questions for us. I can explore that. My gut sense is I can explore. I can explore that. We have multiple options and we have vendors because we've had equipment. You know, we buy the gloves and the like. I guess our concern and where it was in the past is a patient is getting a bill. And now we who are using materials aren't getting reimbursed. And so from my perspective, which is why I want some guidance from you all, that seems to me to be double charging the taxpayer or the patient. Because if we're buying it and the transport agency is charging them for it, and yet we don't get that back, somewhere there's a misconnection on where that goes.
That's in the top of my head.
I concur. So I've asked and I brought to that point and I was told, not sure how to respond. This is the quote, not sure how to respond. As of March 1st, we're not covering it. So I thought I'd bring it to you and ask for guidance from you all. How do you want me to handle it? What I'm hearing is you'd like me to go and talk to them and see if we can figure out a costing piece. I can explore that as one option for you.
Norman?
Yes.
Is there, you know, now that the items that we're using on the calls, does not the ambulance have those same items on their unit when they respond to a call? Also, is there any reason they couldn't just replace, you know, whatever you're using? Couldn't it be taken off their ambulance, given to us, and then they bill the patient?
That's exactly what we were doing. And Administrator Butler said they're no longer going to be doing that.
Very interesting.
So I know it's just the coordination. That's it's always done. They bill that equipment. So it's not like they're not. It seems there's got to be somewhere. So I explore that.
See, okay.
Can't come to some kind of. That's.
Okay. I will go ahead.
Experience.
Mm-hmm.
That not that much from
I look back because I anticipated that question for you. We're talking somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 a year.
It just seems to me that they're trying to push us off to the wayside somewhere. And just, you know, I don't think they like us in their yard, I guess you might say. You're in their sandbox and they're just being not very cooperative.
I can't address any of that, Commissioner, but what I am hearing clearly is that I will reach back out to Administrator Butler and see if we can figure out something and re-articulate this. I will go down the road and say maybe in the communication that it hasn't been clear on what we're trying to accomplish and why we're trying to do what we do. I thought we were in communication, but obviously something was missed. So I will reach back out and see if we can come up with something and give you an update next month or sooner if we can come up with something. And I'm more than happy to have additional dialogue with you guys outside of this. If you have any other ideas as you mull this over on how we can come to a better arrangement, because I think Commissioner Olson and you too, Commissioner Colley, stated it's on the rig. It's going to get used. Someone's going to use it. We're not using extra stuff. It's just if we use it, we replace it. If they use it, they replace it, and a bill goes to the patient. So I'm hoping that because both commissions and both agencies want to take care of the patient and want to take care of the community, and let's hope that it was a misunderstanding, we'll come up to a solution. I will
break each agency.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
And the ambulance has both the same equipment. The engine doesn't, because we don't have the storage space.
But we do back at the station. So I think that, you know, so if you look at it from, and this is deeper than where you probably want to go on this, but from an operational standpoint, you can do, a lot of agencies do it one of a couple ways. And sometimes they do it collectively the same, you know, they do both pieces. When you run the call, you hop in, you grab what you used, and you go out, right? That, if everyone is working in the same, with the same equipment, that's easy. Right? As long as it's not, you got to beat feet and get to the next call and you're running short. Some larger agencies, what they do, because the consistency, I'll give you an example. So AMR will always look for the lowest cost. So they may change how, and I'll give an ALS example, how the meds are provided, right? So as opposed to having pre-fills, which are the simplest, quickest way to go, they, if it's less expensive, will go to ampules or vials and then syringes. So some of the larger agencies will say, I'm going to spend a little more and it's okay, and we're going to buy the pre-fills, period, because they're faster and more efficient, and I don't want to constantly be changing how and where we're storing them. So what they do is they have an agreement that says at the end of the month or end of the quarter, there's an exchange of funds from the ambulance company over to the fire department as the first responder for this amount of stuff that was used. And then the fire department chooses to spend more to have the consistency. Others, when you have a system, which I've been in the past as well, is you hop on, you grab the stuff because you have all the same equipment. My concern on AEDs and the pads is there are so many different vendors out there and so many different things. What would be great is as we have a public access defibrillator program in the community, doesn't matter, because we want those to be replaced, right? So if we coordinate from a system perspective that everyone that we respond with or to has the same, we recommend you get these AEDs. That way we can always pull it off, replace what they use, and those are ready to go. We're not there. Because even in our organization, we have different AEDs. San Juan EMS has different AEDs. It's just that way over time, right? So we'll explore a couple different options on how we can do that. But It's easiest if we can just grab it at the end of the call, but sometimes that doesn't make sense and we have stock back at the station so we can restock. By all means.
I just want to point out the letter that we received indicating the need for collecting funds for lighting supplies. To your point, Mr. Colley, the offer's there to go ahead and let us buy with that agency. However, they want to charge us cost of extra effort.
Be charged.
Charge us a fee, whatever it is, to add a couple. Yeah. So it is a little silly.
So I will hope that we had a miscommunication. I will try and see what we can come up with. Again. Yep. That's what I had on that one. Thank you for the guidance and feedback. I will follow up and get more to you as more comes available.
So old business, the work session we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. We need to set a date first, and April, I think we're going to be kind of working out your schedule. Albert, what's your plans?
Well, my problem right now, I'm having a hard time finding a fellow to deliver my RV back up to the island, so I don't have a date. I just got another contact today, and he's looking to try and fit me in the last part of April. So we may not get this pulled off until the first part of May. And it's a long-term work session. You know, if you guys want to have it, we can do it. You know, I can be on the phone if you want to do it before I get back. Either way will work. I would rather be there in person when we talk about long-term stuff. And I don't think we're being forced to. If there's nothing, I don't think that we're going to be talking about that has to be, you know, that we have to do so, in a relatively fast manner.
So you're going to be talking with this other individual tomorrow?
He's on a trip right now. I don't think he's going to be back till the end of the week, so I probably won't hear anything until the end of the week or maybe even the first of next week. But as soon as I get it nailed down, because I've got to get him, they're opening up ferry reservations on March 10th, you know, for the spring.
Right.
When he gets back, I'm going to work with him and try and get a ferry reservation so he can get on the island and get off again.
As soon as I hear,
I'll give Norman a jingle and then he can talk to you and we'll set something up.
We can do one of two things. We can schedule a day and just do it. And
we can just do it. Yeah. Yeah. We can do it over the phone. Yeah.
Or the second option is to hold off setting a date till we get some kind of confirmation back from you, Albert. And then we can set a date back.
When are you heading for California? Like tomorrow?
No. I'm leaving on the 15th.
Oh, lots of them. And then when are you going to be back?
Weeks at the most. Pardon me?
When are you returning from California?
Before April 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just short trip.
It'll be a short trip. Okay. Well, I will, as soon as I get something nailed down, I'll get Norbert and we may just have to do it before I get there. We can do it maybe sometime.
Yes.
If you did mid to late April.
Yeah.
If you did mid to late April, I think it's important that we have these conversations because this is going to be giving us guidance moving forward. I want to start to facilitate and land with Chief Monin what we want to do for staffing for we're going to put together the summer piece because that has funding ramifications and how we start predicating moving down the road. And I want to have some of those open dialogues with you. One of the topics that's going to be on the agenda now that we have the town within our jurisdiction in the Outer Islands, since the town came in, there's a number of, it's approximately a third of the town, I believe, are government entities or nonprofits that don't pay taxes. Well, we're going to have to, we're going to need some guidance from you all of how do we start addressing some of those? What we've done with existing groups within our jurisdiction, this property is a prime example. We have a relationship with the port on having land, right, in lieu of the taxes. So there's county buildings, there's nonprofits, there's ones that are in the town that need fire protection. And there has to be, since we can't gift that protection, yet they don't pay, we have to come up with some agreements. So we want to have a listing of all the ones that are out there. Want some guidance from you all of how we want to start handling this. Look at, because I've got questions out to legal counsel. Give me best practices. Some areas have agreements. Some areas don't worry about it because it's such a small amount. Others, they have where the agency for 10 years of service buys a piece of equipment. That's what some places do with DNR. That's why we've got the relationship that we're building or have with DNR for some land to build a couple stations. And that's some of the conversation I want to have as well, is there's something to be said of, we build the stations, the cost to build the stations, but what we do is we say, okay, we're building the station, we get the land, but you're buying us a brush rig that's going in each one of them. And you replace that brush rig every 10 years for us. And that's part of the agreement in addition to the land. I was getting some of that advice from the fire chief for all of the national parks lands for the country. He's one of my friends. He goes, and I was telling him what we were doing. I was saying, hey, how have you worked this with other areas? And he said, you don't want to go and have them build the structure. You want to have them have replaceable pieces, and they've got a lot of money right now that they want to put into apparatus and protection up. So one of the things we're already doing for them is they need CPR and first aid training. Well, Carl's putting it together, and we're going to be doing all the training for them for that. They're going to be coming here. We're going to be doing that training. So it's those relationships that we want to get some guidance from you all of where we can do moving forward with what's come in from the town perspective.
Chief, you mentioned DNR. That what you're talking about is national.
Oh, park. National. Right.
But we do have a big
right. Thank you.
Can I add one thing? The importance or the significance of the town of Friday Harbor boundaries is it's the county seat. The only incorporated town in the county, so it's not your typical situation where, you know, if it were multiple towns in our county, it'd be a little watered down with the nonprofits and the government buildings and the different organizations that are junior taxing districts. It would be scattered out a little more. Everything's in the town of Friday Harbor, which makes a third of that land value, that land mass. There's no tax movement to them, so. It puts a burden on agencies that provide services such as the fire district.
This is something new to me for sure, but what incentive is there for obvious, I don't even know if this is anything that maybe like say I would wreck. We're not gonna do anything for you.
So the flip side catch
cost them, but you know, we're still gonna, if we catch on fire, you're still gonna put us out.
Nope. So here's where that plays out. So it goes back to the original foundation of the fire service in Ben Franklin, where they had the fire marks, where they paid for it. So what I would suggest, and this is why it's a much deeper conversation, my suggestion is you do in-kind stuff. So take Parks and Rec, for example. It's a very simple agreement. We use the parking lot to do driver's training in. Okay. Perfectly good to go. We got you covered. We get to use areas for training and we have partnerships. Okay, that's good. We're covered. Good to go because the risk is low.
It's a simple town hall and our water system. We use our water system. Yeah.
Right. So it's very easy that you come across and you say, okay, we're providing this service. Here's what we get in return, because the taxpayer wants to know, okay, well, why? Why are they doing it? And your point's well taken, is that, well, what's their incentive? Well, it's why do you pay for insurance anyway? Well, if the fire happens, well, you're right. You're right. We're going to go. We're going to put out the fire because that's what we do.
But we can send you a bill too.
And that is the other piece. If you want to roll the odds and you say, okay, well, we're not going to have a fire. But when we do, take what happened on Trump Island. No insurance, no cover. If we went, we put out the fire, we sent them a bill. We could do that with the county and the town and everybody else too. I think that we could better leverage relationships to better protect the community. With the town, for example, there's a bunch of buildings that need to be inspected. Well, let's work in partnership because that makes the town safer, makes our community safer, and we have that as an agreement. So some of those perspective and concepts, you work with the town, you work with the county, both Fire Marshal Ryan and Chad, we work with them. And now we work more cohesively and protect the community better. I'm not saying that we need to have exchange of funds. We just need to have an open dialogue about how do we protect both sides equitably.
With pro quos.
Clint Reese. So if we. So if we could set a date, that would be great. And we could put these on the topics because there's much deeper conversations that we need to have. I was just giving an example. These are some of the things that we need to talk about because they're crucial for how we make short-term, medium, and long-term decisions. So mid to late April.
Okay, so the meeting of the next April meeting is
the 12th. Correct.
So
you know, you want to do it before the next meeting? You know,
No, I think.
You should. Okay. No. Middle of the month or something?
Be after.
Okay. Let's just do it because I don't think I'm going to be there till the end of the month. Let's just go ahead and have a. Okay. I'll just join you by the phone sometime in the middle of the month when you get back and talk to Frank and Dwight and pick a date. I'm flexible.
How about the 26th?
Tuesday the 26th, that's fine.
Is that okay?
That's not too late. Fine.
Okay.
That might give you time to get back.
Yeah.
I will put in a tentative board work session right now. And then we can find, if you don't mind, the topics, and then we will have it posted out and everything else. I'll put it down. Did you want to do like you did last time?
Start at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, you're coming. Yeah.
One or two. Do you guys have a preference? Either's fine with staff. Okay.
You want to start at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? Yeah. Either one.
2 o'clock, in case you got that morning ferry, make sure you get here in time.
Okay. Yeah. 2 p.m. it is, and I'll set it. How long do you want it set for?
Oh, 2 hours. Didn't we burn up 2 hours last time?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I got here.
You want to start with 2 hours?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll put it as tentative 2 to 4 on the 26th. And we will refine topics. So if you guys have topics, kind of what we're looking at on that one. So future planning, I will have prepared some of the annual goals for now, because I'd like to do a quick beginning with goal setting for what we want to look at for this year and into next. And then some direction from you all on finances and what we just kind of started some topics today, if that works for you all. And then give me anything else you want and I'll put together the agenda.
I'd like to add that.
Yeah.
Inspections.
Yep.
Yeah. And Norbert, go out and beat the bushes and see what some of the other local inner county fire districts are doing with their local municipalities. You know, see if there's anything you can glean out there.
Will do, yes. And I'll fill you in on this. And the inspections are the difficult one because we've delegated the authority away, but we should have that conversation because it's time for a renewal on that, and we can frame it up how you would like. So I think that's a great topic to have, and that's part of our future planning as well.
We'll talk about it.
I'll give you the whole history, where we are, where we can go within the law, because we delegated our authority to the county fire marshal. So we have opportunity to tweak some of that. And I will give you what the history was, when the expiration is, and what it specifically says. And then we could have dialogue, because I think this is one of those areas of opportunity that we can do a lot better, a lot more, especially when we have staff on our engine company. And during the summer, as we staff up a day rig, they can hit a bunch of that and make this community safer. I've got it on the list for inspections.
Have you started a list of stuff already or?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Do you have so a couple of things that I'm looking at? I'm not sure if this is, but anyway, wildland training, future wildland training.
How much are you wanting to get into operations?
I don't. I just wanted to make sure that there's something happening.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Training site.
We can talk about that in finances.
Okay.
I have that in finances.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's good for now.
Okay.
I need some time to think.
Yep. We've got some time. We'll put that together. I'll kick out what we already have on the list for you, and then you can add to or subtract from at your leisure.
Okay.
That's what we had for old business for you.
Okay. Business is done. Staff reports.
Staff reports. Start on financials. You have your summary pictures. 17% is our target. Like I said, right off the top, year to date, we brought in $12,467 in finances for revenues. We will see more of that starting to come in. So we're at 28%, including beginning fund balances in total income. Expenses, we are at personnel at 14%, materials and services at 14%. That check, as you know, is our capital projects. That's the payment for the apparatus. We are right in line. And so currently we are at 13%. So we are under budget overall for year to date. And we have 485,000 after all that 873 for operating between all of our funds. Monthly overview for February. You can see what our total cash value was. And then specifically our fund balances as came in, we had 392,714 in general fund for cash investment and LOSAP, reserve 357,925. Capital bond always stays the same because that's the payment. Revenues overall, you see that's where we showed that we transferred money over in funds from reserve fund, into general fund. That's why the revenues are slightly higher. That will go down as an expense later on as a transfer over. And between payroll and materials and services, we spent $170,000. Be happy to answer any questions either for the month of February or year to date.
So the ending fund balances of 485, is that after the 100,000 was taken out?
This is year to date for February.
Oh, just for February. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't take that 100,000 out of one lump sum.
We moved it over. It hasn't been spent. It got moved over. So when it does come up, so Robin, when I asked her, well, what do we need to cover stuff? She said, we need about 35,000. I said, and when are we going to be getting stuff in? And we had the whole dialogue and I go, well, we're not going to keep moving stuff. We're going to move one amount, conferred with the chair. We moved 100,000 to make sure that that would be sufficient to cover for everything we need until we can move it back. That's what we figured. We moved 100,000. So we're not going to be moving it in little pieces. We moved it at one, being conservative. We'll move it all back when it's done.
Now, my fellow commissioners, this should just be a one-time event.
Right, right, correct.
Because going forward, we'll have our tax system where it should be. It was because of the town paying their monthly payment that why we're just at this point right now.
That is correct. Any other questions on the financials?
No.
Okay. That's it. I'd like to turn it over to Chief Monin for the ops.
February ops report, real quick, I'll just go over a short summary here. We had 63 responses. EMS and rescue responses were 57% of those 63. All other hazards and services was 43% of the 63. It was an average response per day of 2.25 calls. Our reaction time was just over 90 seconds, a minute and 31 seconds, which is excellent. We're very pleased with that. Travel time was up a bit, 8 minutes and 12 seconds. I went ahead and broke down your graphs for you, total responses by station area. I changed the graph. It used to be a bar graph that was kind of odd looking because you had the station 31 area that had the bulk of the graph, and everything else looked really little. So I went ahead and tried a pie graph. It looks a little more appealing to the eye, I think. It just doesn't look as odd. And you've got the total calls on those pieces of pie that breaks down. Average zonal travel times and response volume for the month of February, I broke down for you again as well. So you can see the north zone average response time is 19 minutes, 25 seconds. South zone was 16 minutes, 50 seconds, and central zone was 6 minutes and 3 seconds. Activity reports, we did meet minimum staffing for February. The call volume was a bit busier than usual in a one-year perspective. Why, I don't know, but it was. Shift crews are staying busy as usual with their routine, assisting the fire academy, fire district fleet and station inspections, performing burn permit inspections, assisting with public education, and performing their ongoing assigned functional duties and projects. Like I said, the reaction times are looking good. They're on the mark for February, which is excellent. Travel times are above average. I tried to figure out why the travel times were above average. The only thing I can really point to is we did have a snowstorm, and I'm guessing that played a big role, that it slowed things down, but I didn't do a deep dive on it, so I can't. That's a speculative piece on my end. A quick update on Safe Boats International. We've been working directly with their sales team and respectively his engineers. We've got, I think, a really good design going through. It's going to engineering, and we should be getting drawings here soon. We've been looking at, as the chief and I have been looking at this as a 20 to 25 year asset. So it's not just to meet the need right now, but we're trying to look at this as the long term, when he and I are, and all the rest of us here probably are long gone, that we're leaving a legacy piece of equipment that serves the community and is useful for the future leadership. Particularly noteworthy is the patient litter transfer and transport ability of this vessel. We've worked really hard to solve some of the problems we've seen over the years that we've been doing transports in not only the Sentinel, but in the old watercraft that we had, Confidence, and in Guardian, and other boating opportunities that we've had to move patients. The design we're coming up with that we've basically, we've gotten a head nod from engineering and from the manufacturer that they're gonna certify it as a good system and safe, is designed so that two people can do the loading and unloading of a patient. So very similar to what you look like at an ambulance on the ground. Similarly, we're trying to look at this the same way. I think it's more important on this one because it is a boat, and the more people you get manhandling a patient on a litter and on and off the boat, whether it's beach access or it's from the side, from the gunwale, from the stern, the more people you have monkeying around, a circus act, it gets clumsy, it gets less or more risky for the patient and the crew. People can easily tumble overboard. It's an unstable platform as it is because it's a boat. So I'm excited to see how this works out. I think we've got definitely the manufacturers pretty eager to see how this works out. The chief and I have been working closely with that. So we'll see. Hopefully it solves some of these problems that we've seen in the past, and it protects our responders and our patients as well. The Fire Recruit Academy is wrapping up. I'm sure Carl will give you a little more detail on that, and they'll be completed before April. There's a wildland module taking form that's a countywide wildland firefighting module that's being led by Chief Jordan Pollock, who's been active in our community. You might recognize his name. He's done some outreach with the Outer Islands that aren't protected and been working with them with training and some services for several years now. He is working with the chiefs, the county chiefs, and getting a commitment on their end to have personnel commit to a team, a special team that's dedicated to that, and it has a little esprit de corps with it. I think they're getting ball caps or something, but anyway, it's a group of people who really want to focus on that. And as a county wide team, we can focus on that labor part of wildland fires. That they are laborious. You knock them down and then you gotta mop them up, and nobody wants to do that. A lot of people need to get back to work or just aren't interested in it. So having this dedicated team to go out, help with initial tack and assist in other islands, and then a countywide deployment model, we're all helping each other, is beneficial for every organization. Historically, we, the Fire District 3, our fire department's been very proactive in that, and we've often been the ones to go help other agencies, less so getting help from those agencies on our end. So it's an opportunity for us to get our back scratched as well for a change. And then the last piece I want to update you on is CODAN communication system is delayed once again. So launch is now set for April. It is what it is. I don't think it needs to be something that should be hurt. It's not something that should be hurried. It's an important system. So whatever it takes for them to get it up and upright is what we want. Meanwhile, we've got our end prepared. We got to do reprogramming. We've got a plan A, plan B in case the cutover doesn't work. We can switch back to plan A. Otherwise, plan B will work. And one last thing.
When you say we, who is we? It's not just us, right?
Yeah, it's coordinated through all the agencies. So we've got a team that's been collaborating with this whole process in terms of hardware and programming, software, and outlay. So not only from the top end, from the chiefs deciding to work together and allocate the frequencies that's required to make this work, down to operations and staffing. Radios are going to be programmed, majors are going to be programmed, how that's helping. I mean, it's all the stakeholders been working on this together collaboratively. Last thing I wanted to update you on was the website. I don't know if you had a chance to check out our website. It is leaps and bounds. It's been reborn, and this baby looks pretty good. So take a look at it. It's got particularly it's got on the front page of the website, it's got analytics basis. So anybody wants to know what our basic analytics are, the stuff that I babble on about in my report, it's in there. If you're looking for a Knox box as a customer, you can go in and find that information now. If you're calling Robin and pestering her about your insurance because you're an insurance provider and she's like getting all these calls all day long, she can now direct them, go to our website. That's where the answers are, and the rest of our members as well. So pretty excited to see that. We've had a lot of internal help from our membership to make that happen. And without them, it wouldn't be where it is now. That's what I got for my office report.
I can just come make, make one comment about the website. I think that's probably one of the most important things have been done recently, is to get that information out there so that everybody out there gets to see exactly what you do for a living and that you're good at it. So I think having that up and running is a very crucial part of the fire district. That gets the public gets to see that and realize that their money is being well spent.
Thank you for those comments.
I have a question on the wildland team you're talking about. Is it going, what's the vision? Is it going to be considered a hand crew? Is it going to be
a I call it a module because I don't think it's limited. It's going to be comprised of who wants to do it, and it's going to be voluntary. So but you know, if the team is comprised of personnel qualified to operate an engine or to, you know, beyond to, you know, my credentials in wildland are task force leader, so I can do a lot in terms of a big picture thing. Others are limited, but it's basically entry level to whoever wants to join what level. And I would say I would call it a module because it's going to be, you know, they can bring a portable pump with them and work as a squad, or if it's just hand tools, they can work as a hand crew. If they're bringing engines, because it's a protracted long duration, need to move water, and it's, you know, heavy materials on Blakely Island, or we need to get an engine or a couple of our UTVs over there, that can be that. So the intent isn't to limit it. I think a module is a good term for that, because that's generally what that means. Module is kind of like, well, what kind of module? Well, whatever you need.
Okay. I think the other piece too is that we've all talked about the scaled type 3 IMT, and we have commitment, but aren't fully committed, right? So we wanted to do this standpoint because we get a call. We're the coordinators for any wildland deployments. Well, we put out a note at the beginning of the year. Hey, who's interested? And you get people, oh, I'm interested. I'm, yeah, well, you're not, because when we have to pull the trigger, we send one of our crews. So this commitment piece put together under the esprit de corps, as Noel said, was we have a team that starts to work together. They develop that esprit de corps. It's from all of the agencies. Then when we draw, we already are now confident that their training level is the same. We either respond within county. We have the ability for IMTs as need be. We also have the ability that if we need to go intrastate or interstate, we can put a team together, and we may have two from here, one from Lopez, one from Orcas. We put them on a rig from Orcas and off they go on the deployment. We send a strike team leader. We send an engine boss as we need to, and we make sure. And Jordan Pollock, Chief Pollock, is willing to step up to the plate and help coordinate that. So that was one of the pieces that we have. Noel did a great job when we saw one of the challenges that we had was maintaining our wildland credentials. Noel reached out to the other agencies in some of the other counties, and we're managing our own now. We have our own agreements. So the IQS, which is the qualifying system, is maintained. What I pushed us to do differently here prior to, everyone had to red card. Everyone had to do the same thing. And I challenged our group back and said, well, why do we mandate that? Because we have a majority of our people that are never going to go off island. So what we agreed to was for those that want to, they will get their full red card. And we go competency based. But those that don't want to, okay, so they don't get the red card. They're getting the exact same training. But if they don't want to jump the hoop and do the paperwork and do all the stuff, the training and the competency is the same. So we fit both. So those that want to do the extra have to do the time pack test and hit all the, dot all the I's, cross all the T's. But the training and the outcome is the same from a response. And now we have commitment from all of the agencies in the county to do this collaboratively and collectively. So now we can leverage the resources all the way across. From a chief's perspective, we see that if this works, the next step is we start to grow people into some more command roles, and we actually fully develop a type 3 or a type 4 incident management team a little more with more depth. Because right now, if there's a call on Orcas, what has happened in the past? We get a call, we throw our crews on, I go over, we bring our crews over, like the last fire they had over in Deer Harbor, and then we become part of the incident management team to help them. Well, now we want reciprocal. We had Trump Fire was a great example of where it really came to light that people wanted to do this within the county. We had a fire there, it was an unprotected area. We went in, we took our crew, we set it up. We need more people. We got a DNR crew that came over because they really want to be involved. And that's a really good thing for us, because when we get done with stuff, they stay and do the mop up and they're happy to do it. Get our crews and our volunteers back in service on their individual islands. We needed more people. Orcas sent over 4 people to help us out. No, Lopez did. Orcas was ready to send more. Lopez was closer. They came over, helped us out. So we had 2 full engine companies, a DNR team, and another county agency ready to go to back up and do what we needed to do. That's what the vision needs to be for the future. And this is a really good way to set that foundation. And I like Noel's term of it being module, because we're going to be able to plug, and that's how ICS is designed.
Do I hear an RFA coming?
You hear continued coordination between everyone to better serve this community, whatever that looks like. Right now, it's called baby steps, and we work together and make things work. That's so that's right. Where we are.
That's how it starts out.
Completely so. Training Officer Kutzing, could you brief us on where we are with the Training Academy and what big things coming up here in a couple weeks?
Certainly. Just to kind of let you know that we're managing our training, competency-based training. Our firefighters are getting taken care of. Our EMTs are being taken care of through their ongoing training and evaluation programs. We're good to go. The Academy's got 3 weeks left. A week from Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, is labs, live fire labs at our training burn house. It's been a donated structure to us. Where we're going to on Guard Street, and we're going to do trend labs on Saturday, and then multi-company operations on Sunday, where the eventual goal will be that the entire house will be consumed, and that will turn it over for demolition and disposal. So that's coming up. We're working through our final punch list to get all that taken care of. Assistant Chief Monin and myself have been working through that. Notifications of property owners, having solid training plan, and then getting our sets put together. So those are the things that we're working with that. We were able to bring with our academy, the first time we actually had all academy members in person last weekend for hazmat training. Justin Iverson from Whatcom 7 came down. He's their training division assistant chief, and taught hazmat operations. And we brought all the four members from Orcas, the two members from Lopez, and then our eight members all together in the same room at the same time, which was actually really, really good. And the plan is to do the same kind of thing for the training burn in 2 weeks. That's pretty much what I have got for you. I am happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
Are we still at eight?
Yeah, eight recruits. One of our recruits, I think we have decided that they will focus more on exterior rather than interior operations, but going through the academy, learning the information.
Okay, Fleetwise, do you have anything to add to what we've got going on? You've been doing a whole bunch of work orders and getting stuff planned for the future. What are you working on in reports for? So you've been spending some time on that. That's important for what's coming up for planning.
Oh, so talking about the Halligan report.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've been messing around the Halligan that we have in system, and as Lieutenant Parks will help, because we've actually been starting to generate some reports on the vehicle. Mileage, usage, stuff like that. Still trying to figure out how to get it out there for you so you guys can look at it and have better informed on what's going on. Otherwise, annual scheduled maintenance, it's on schedule. I did have a couple of fire pumps that need to be rebuilt. One of them required some help, and a couple of volunteers stepped up and helped me. It worked out really good. We actually cut down time on removing it and putting it back in. And the other was a brush truck, which was tiny, but still it took a decent amount of units. Any questions?
So the key thing on what he's doing with the report. So when I came on board, everything was by paper. What I encouraged them to do was to get into the system. So what was Halligan is now Vector Solutions, where we do all the checks and all the maintenance is tracked in there. So now we've got 2 years of data. So what I wanted him to start to explore into is how do we get the data out on increasing corrective maintenance and decreasing valuation. So we know as we move forward with any of our equipment, where does those lines start to cross so we can make good financial decisions moving forward that are based on data. So we know that if we follow blindly what the NFPA says, we just replace stuff because they tell us to, because it for at one day it's fine and the next day it's going to fall apart. Well, we know that that's not true. So in order for us to reduce our liabilities and risk, we need to have data behind it that says we're going to keep our turnouts longer than 10 years as a prime example. NFPA says you will replace your turnouts every 10 years. Well, if you don't have the exposure and you don't have the breakdown of the equipment, why would you spend $2,500 to $3,000 per set every 10 years? Well, in order to reduce that risk, you need to know that the equipment is doing its job. Well, now that we have the checks that are tracked, they have a full inspection once a year. They have a key inspection twice a year and is cleaned after every exposure to fire and carcinogens. So every year it gets a check to make sure it is meeting the standard for the equipment. Well, if we have that on an ongoing basis, you can say this turnout gets us to 15 years. And then you say, I have this many sets of turnouts. And you notice 2 years ago, when we started doing a little more detailed in the budget, Lieutenant Hartzell put together a capital replacement plan for turnouts, both for structural and wildland, and says, in order for us to turn over all of these pieces of equipment in X period of time, it's going to cost this much per year, and I replace this many per year. We're on track, and it's validated because we're able to track in Halligan. And so as they go out of service, we then change them over. We spray paint no fire on them, and we give them to our support members to keep them water protected. But we know that that's not safe to go inside of a building. And we buy a new $3,000 set for a person that is going inside of a building. Carl was able to use a bunch of the no fire ones for the recruits, so that as they're learning, they're pulling hose, they're climbing ladders, they're crawling around doing search, we're not destroying a $3,000 set. Well, what are you going to be issuing this weekend? $3,000 sets to the crew, so they're ready to do the fire attack coming the following weekend, and they have good, safe equipment. So that's why I want Tad to be able to give us that. So when we have these financial discussions here in April, you can start to see, when I say with all confidence that our rigs are good, here's why I can say our rigs are good, because there's data to back it up, and we're making good, strong, financial, data-driven decisions. So kudos to Tad to work on that. Thank you for reaching out to Lieutenant Hartzell. Good job on the training academy. Driver who's up doing his thing today, you hear the noise coming up top. I know this was a little stressor for him, and I'll probably embarrass the hell out of him because I'm mentioning this in a public meeting. Craig McConnell has really wanted to be an EMT. He took the opportunity and went over and got into an EMT class on Lopez. He has been studying with a number of our members here to make sure he's dialed in academically as well as proficiently in hands-on stuff. As of end of last week, no, on Saturday, he took his practical test. He had passed his written. Saturday, he took and passed his practical. He's passed the class, and now he's is studying and getting ready to take his national registry test. So when you see AO McConnell, do congratulate him on that, because he has put in a ton of work to get to where he needs to be, because he sees that's what he wants to do and how he wants to serve this community. And kudos to the membership for stepping up and helping him, including Robin.
Fantastic.
So that's what we've got for staff reports. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, we've having no other issues brought up, Dwight, did you have anything you wanted to add? Anything for the good of the order? Albert, you have any closing comments?
Well, I've known Craig for a long time, and I know he's put a lot of time into this thing, and you know, he's really looking for a future in our organization, and you know, he's putting in the time. So I hope everything works out going forward for him.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's something he can definitely be proud of, and I know the organization is proud for him.
You guys do know that Craig, while he was doing the temporary, we did share that he was brought on as one of our permanent AOs, right, Commissioner? So he got that about a month or two ago. So he is one of our five now.
Good. I did not know that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought we shared that. But if we didn't, are remiss. But yes, he was moved from temporary status to full status when we had a change in who was able to and not to. And right before we did the hire of Tom Eads to fill the new kind of switch out of what we've got. So we make sure we have the staffing appropriately.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. Second. Okay. Don't need any discussion. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Goodbye, guys.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Good night.